Hello?
Hi, you know that book, Finnegan's Wake?
Yes.
Is that a book that we can get at any bookstore?
Oh, sure. You can get it at any bookstore or at the library. The author is Joyce, J-O-Y-C-E. In fact, you can get it at a lot of used bookstores cheaper.
Okay, and it'll be like the same one, like every word for word will be the same?
Oh, yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, and if you'd like, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and I'll send you 4.5 pages of information.
About that book?
Well, if that's what you prefer, just put that in there.
Uh-huh. What about you?
Well, I'm not Bob, but I can send you information about Bob as well, whatever you prefer.
What are you, like an associate or something?
I am indeed an associate.
Uh-huh. Well, what address do I send that to?
Do you have a pencil?
Do now, yeah.
Okay, 2427.5.
Uh-huh.
So what was your reaction to the show?
Well, see, I'm sort of new to Bob Dobbs. The only way I know about him is because, I've been listening to David Porter's program for about 4 years now, and he comes on periodically. And so I kind of try to listen every time he comes on, and I don't know. I guess I find them very entertaining, and he seems to have some kind of there's integrity to his interpretation of that book and everything. So, you know, I guess I'm still reacting. I don't really know what to think yet because it's so complicated, you know.
I see. Well, we appreciate you calling. What's your name?
Alan.
Alan?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks a lot for calling.
You're welcome.
Dobstown.
Is it Jay?
Yes.
Hey, Jay, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
I met you at Colonel Bruce's show.
Oh, yeah, I heard your call.
Yeah, I just thought I'd call you up personally and say thanks for having my copious notes this morning.
Well, that's great. I'm glad you tuned in. Your observations were really articulate, and they really impressed me, man.
Happened at the end there or whatever, and he'd come in so I could get Bob to answer the specific question, but it was cool.
Well, you called twice, right?
I got in twice.
Yeah, I know, man. Your second time, I tell you what to do is I'll give you another major article interview with Bob called Entertainment Sucks.
I got to read that.
Yeah, and it's actually 17 pages, and on the flip side, there's a 17-page interview that a Seattle paper did that's similar to, like, our Reader or Weekly.
Yeah.
And and that'll be good because they'll give you some basis and the liner notes to his first CD and cassette. I'll give you the first cassette as well, and that will help you because you definitely had tuned in some major questions. Like he said, that could last a whole show. So you got 2 months to sort of prepare and sort of refine it because the key to any, dialogue is not the answers, it's the questions. Because that's the thing. Bob knows all the answers, but what are the questions?
Well, that's what a friend of mine, an eminent psychologist, says, that the key to life is not to have all the answers, but to know when to ask the right question.
Who is that?
Oh, that's just a friend of mine. It's just a buddy. I don't know where he picked it up. He picked
Yeah, that's good. And indeed, Bob's dialogues are important. It was great how one of the callers called in and said, you know, well, where do I get some sort of thing that will guide me through this? And for a dumb person like me, and it's not we don't want just this high intellectual type people. Some people get turned off because Bob uses words that they just can't grasp right off the bat.
Yeah, well, so. Which is a highly specialized vernacular.
Yeah.
No, I just, I really wanted to get him to discuss the fact that the people have already experienced the information overload. That was what the last thing was about. I wanted him to come out and say that the reason why you need the media fast is that you need to, like, let it filter out of your head with the fast. Like, what's already just been crammed in there. It's the same thing that happens when you read Finnegan's Wake. I mean, the first time I tried to read it, like, 5 years ago, I read it, and to the point where, because it's not making sense to you,
Exactly.
So that gave the kind of like thumbnail filing system, which is what I try for. Like, so in the end, it's just a filing system, you know, and that you have to kind of use what you're going to use, and whether you're using Christianity or you're using Finnegan's Wake or whatever, at some point, even the thing yourself, just like Bob said, his own communications are flawed.
Exactly.
We'll
indeed be there. Why don't you come by? I won't have a copy for you this week, but I'm going to get you a copy because we got a month and a half to prepare.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. And I have another question, not related.
Sure. Tape already, and for some reason my stereo is all like one piece unit. It'll tape records, it'll tape CDs, but it won't tape the radio. When the radio's on, the power doesn't go to the tape deck. I was just like, what the hell is going on? And then Bandy said that was a taped thing anyways, the first half of the show.
I can give you tapes of either. I mean, I've got like...
So I could disseminate that.
I've got like 40 hours of Bob, so...
Well, I already got two calls from people this morning, of like 5 or 10 people who I got to listen to it, so...
Good, thanks a lot. Well, tell them to call me because we're like registering all the results.
Okay.
Hello?
Hi, is this Mr. Dobbs?
No, it isn't, but I can help you. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Long Beach, California. I happened to tune into Dave Porter's Genesis of the Music this morning. Usually he has music on, I believe.
Yep.
And caught your, I guess, the last 20 minutes or so of the conversation, and having trouble putting it all together. Do you have some general information you can send me? Or?
I sure do. If you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, what's your name?
Regina Taylor.
Regina, tell me, what did you think of what you heard?
I'm not sure. It sounds, if I could put a generic terminal thing, it sounds like you're talking about some metaphysical type things. I don't know. It just sounded interesting, and I seek out and I find out what things are about when I find them interesting.
Good. I'm glad. Have you ever read Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce?
No, I haven't, but in years gone by, I've read Ulysses and what's the other one of his?
Portrait of an Artist or Dubliners?
Oh, God. I can't remember. It was back in college days.
Yeah, whatever. And then have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
Limited.
Yeah. Well, those are two things I would seek out if I was you. And I would also encourage you to tune in November 27th. Bob will be on again, probably for the whole 2.5 hours. So if you can set up some sort of taping, you could get the whole thing if you can't get up that early. It's 6 to 8:30.
Where do you classify your body of discussion and what you do? What do you classify it as? What do you call it? I mean, what are you studying? What are you about?
Well, what you'll receive will help a little. In the liner notes to Bob's first CD or tape, Bob's Media Ecology, list 10 people that he has studied, which he calls the Holy Offices. And that's not to connotate any religious thing. These are just like people who have perked his interest, just like he perked yours, and he pursued studying them for many years. And so it's really the big picture. It's not specific. One thing Bob has always said to me is never specialize, even though he indeed has kept a good eye peeled on information, especially to these 10 people. It's more important to look at the big picture. So it's hard for me to say one thing. I mean, I would say Bob's a communication specialist. He's someone who studies the effects, and that's what he talks about in the media fast. That is the idea of turning off electricity for 2 minutes, 2 hours, 2 weeks, 2 months, or 2 years, and studying the effects, and then turn it back on.
Talking about total turn off, or just...
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it can be discussed further however you want. I mean, just try not yourself not dealing with it for a day and study the effects, because a basic communication has boiled down to this. We started to talk to each other. That's word of mouth. Then we brought in print media. Now, first of all, talking kept us tribal. That is, we had a deal. You can't just really talk to yourself,
right?
But you need to talk to other people. There's interaction.
Yeah,
then
didn't you?
Pardon me?
You had community when you had tribal.
Community, tribal, exactly. Then we brought in print media, and that sort of isolated man. And you could sit in a room and read a book and be all by yourself and acquire something, knowledge or whatever you want to deem it. And then electricity came in, telegraph, telephone, television, satellite, computers. And basically that subsumed humanity. It killed humanity. It, people are zombies now. And you know, because I'm sure you know people who watch TV, and it doesn't matter what's on TV. It's just the act of watching it.
I know. I almost caught myself in that last night.
Right. So that's fine. I mean, everybody is subsumed by electricity, but it's that we really never studied the effects, whereas we know a little about what word of mouth and print media have done to us. Electricity just got us and subsumed us, and now people go around and they blame the media. And I think Bob's a little different than that. And in being a listener to KPFK, that's what they like to do. They like to blame the media, did this and the media did that. The media is us. We're the media, and it's an extension of us. And every
the vast majority of us, but the media is controlled. I do agree with that, that the media is controlled, because I look for information that the typical media, like the 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, I don't listen to what that gives me, because it presents a picture of reality that someone wants me to have.
Right, but it is important also to realize that you must study all of them. You must read LaRouche and Farrakhan and The Spotlight and Z Magazine and Covert Action Bulletin and the LA Times and USA Today. And I mean, that's what's hard. Who has the time? But there are people who have what Bob calls pattern recognition, and that is they can read the LA Times and tell you what's going on. They don't need to read Covert Action Bulletin because they know history. They know pattern recognition. And it really boils down to what's called comprehensive awareness. And that, I think, to go back to your question, is what Bob has. He's comprehensively aware because he's noticed pattern recognition in all different forms. So to define Bob is really hard, but I mean, I'll send you some information. You can seek out getting his books and his CDs, and just these 4 pages will be helpful in learning a little more. And again, I encourage you to tune in on November 27th.
I made a note on the date. And
yeah.
I guess then the next thing is where is he heading with this? Is that the changes that... There is saying that the 90s are a decade of great decision. I sense certain things in my gut that are going to occur these next 10 years.
What do you sense?
I sense that either we wake up, for want of a better way to put it, globally. Everybody has to. I've woken up myself, but only over the last 2 to 3 years, I think. I've become much more aware of, I mean, just about everything. And
What caused your grab
for information. I mean, and some of it I discard, but I'm always looking. I
right.
For well, things that I would normally have sent for, you know, even like this.
What caused that, do you think?
One incident that caused it was the Gulf War.
Yes.
Starting with what led up to that, and a feeling of, I guess for the first time, I wanted to see something not occur, and I think I slept through the 60s, I always say. I don't understand why I was a young adult in the 60s, but I did. But for some reason or other, that hit me hard, and I still can't explain that. But ever since then, and I guess I stumbled on KPFK, which gave me a different side of everything what I had been used to. I'd been very mainstreamed, I think. And it just forced me to look at the other side, or read some books like People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. I started getting what they would call the left side as opposed to the right side of things. But,
right.
You know, I think I've got a more balanced view. So, I mean, that started it. So I grabbed for information. I'm not saying I won't get the information from you guys, and maybe I'll discard it. I don't know.
Right, right. Well, I appreciate you calling and seeking it out, because that's what is important, that you're making an effort.
Yeah, and either we wake up or we're going to, I don't know about the general survival of things as we know it right now, I don't know that we're going to be able to put it together or keep it going. I looked at something on the biosphere last night, and I'd forgotten totally about that wild experiment they're doing in Arizona, and I wondered, and I kind of wonder why they're really doing that, you know?
Right.
And it's like, I don't trust why they're doing that. I don't think it's for what they say they're doing it for.
It's because the guy's got a lot of money and can charge $20 for people to come in and see this Disneyland type thing. But
I know.
Maybe he has better motives. We'll see if there's some result out of it all.
No, I sometimes think I think of things like a place for selected people to stay and go and live, while I don't know, the rest of us implode. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I don't have a very positive outlook for the next 10 years. But, yeah, there just needs to be an awareness and a waking up. And what you're saying about the tribal versus, you know, now becoming isolated, the other thing that has made us isolated is how we live. And you live in Venice, and it's a little bit more community, I would say.
That's
in suburbia, you know, we're all isolated behind our closed doors.
That's a very good observation. We definitely have some community here, and it helps. And I recommend also, seek out some McLuhan. You can find his books very cheap at used bookstores and garage sales because people don't understand them. But they're really a good way to grasp and get a hold of what's going on. And they're beyond Michael Pareni and beyond Noam Chomsky. And you'll, yes, I'm not kidding. He's very important to study some McLuhan, and is not that hard. It's very simple, and some of the stuff I'll send you, you'll see, because he's not just a guy who yelled out cute little phrases like the medium is the message. There's more to him, you know, and it is definitely an awareness thing. He said a thing that I don't explain, I explore, and that's what it seems you're doing. You're exploring all this. Because
yeah.
You haven't in the past, and you say, this needs to be explored because, hey, what exactly is our government telling the press, and what is the press reporting in regards to the Gulf War, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I just, my gut says you don't bomb people, that's all.
Yeah.
Enough already with the military. But what size envelope do you need for me?
Just a regular size 29-cent stamp.
Oh, okay. In other words, it's a small letter size then.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Thanks for calling, Regina. It was really good talking to you.
Okay, you take care.
Okay, bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello?
Yes, is this Bob Dobbs?
No, but I can give you information about Bob. Did you listen to the show today?
Yeah, I did.
And what'd you think?
I thought it was great. It talked about some new areas that I've been trying to find some information on.
What areas are those?
Basically, the entertainment industry and new ways of thinking about consciousness.
Wait, I understand the second, but what do you mean entertainment industry? I mean the
cultural icons that the entertainment business has brought about through the media, through films, through music, manipulation of belief systems.
Okay. Well, what's your name, first of all?
My name is Bill Andrews.
Bill, it's good to know you. My name is Jerry. And I would suggest that, do you have a pencil and paper?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
And the music business, but I don't call it the music business anymore, it's entertainment world.
Right.
And so I'm kind of coming from a jaded viewpoint of that, and it was kind of hard to explain what I'm feeling about that. But basically,
well, I understand. I mean, it's not. I mean, we all love music and various types of music, and you can specially say, "Oh, I like this and I like that." But like David Porter, if you've heard his show before. Have you heard his show before?
Yeah, I've turned it on kind of waking hours, that's why.
Over the years, David's played a lot of Zappa and Charles Ives and stuff that's not played normally, that's very essential, I think, to expanding people's horizons musically. But this article, Dialogue, takes a more McLuhan-esque point of view and combines all of Bob's philosophies in sort of explaining where entertainment has gone and what entertainers do. And it really opens up a lot of doors for new ways of thinking. So it's just something I suggest. It's no big deal. And the other side of those 17 pages is a 17-page interview that Bob did for a paper in Seattle that's similar to the Weekly or the Reader. And it's very extensive, so it gives you more background, and he examines a lot of his other points of view in this interview. But what specifically, you know, did Bob say that you could relate to, and what did you find, you know?
I think when they were talking about kind of physics and consciousness and thinking and the way of seeing things, the way that we perceive things, that whole realm of thinking is something that I'm interested in, because I want to change my beliefs about that, about certain things in my life, and I think that's an opening, getting away from the absolutist kind of value system that I have.
Right, and what do you believe, and what do you want to change it to?
Well, I would like to see more possibilities in my life, and I believe that I can probably, I know that I can do that through changing some of the beliefs that are hindering my stopping of certain kinds of energy in my life.
And what are the beliefs that are stopping you?
I really don't know. I mean, I think it's like deep down in there. You know, it's like human stuff, you know.
Were you raised a particular religion?
I was raised a Christian Scientist.
Uh-huh.
And
have you practiced that your whole life?
No. No, I've been involved in different Eastern religions and metaphysics, and just, you know, I consider myself probably kind of a Taoist, I guess.
Uh-huh. Do you like Alan Watts and Krishnamurti?
Yeah, I like them, but still, I find, you know, I listen to a lot of different people, but there's nothing I think that's basically... We all have to take responsibility for our beliefs, and
that we all have to.
Yeah. We all have to, and it's it's just up to us to become kind of the farmers of our beliefs, and for me, it's like getting inspiration. I want to be more inspired in my life, and I want the vision to be clearer. Inspired to move matter. Okay.
What have you been inspired from in the past?
Basically, the earth, people around me, and I've also been inspired by what people have, like the icons that the culture has, inspirational icons the culture has given me. You know, like musicians and artists and inspirational people, not just artists, but, you know, everybody's an artist to some degree, but, you know, just inspirational people who...
Right.
Who...
role models?
Yeah, and who exude a loving consciousness, whatever that is.
But you say you want to change, it seems like you want to change your perception of those, because you're going to still be able to acquire inspiration from the earth and from people and from role models.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't want to change the source of inspiration. You want to change your perception of it, don't you?
Yeah, I guess I want to just be deeper into, like see beyond the physical models that I have now.
Right. That seems to me you want to change your perception of these. What is beyond?
Well, I really, you know, my belief makes me think it's some kind of cosmology that we're being taught now that is molecular in structure, and that it is like a network of movement of some kind.
Who's teaching us that?
Probably, as far as I know, it's kind of an ever-moving consciousness of awareness that it filters down through things that I pick up. I don't know who's teaching it. It could be called all kinds of things. But
yeah. Well, that's good you tuned in. I'm glad you called and gave us your reaction.
Yeah, I think some of the talking was kind of get to be a little academic to me but I was halfway asleep, so I really couldn't concentrate on it that well.
Yeah, there's lots of tapes of Bob's radio shows, and that's just it. It's sort of picking through it, because sometimes the terms he used do sound academic and turn people off a little, but it's just like McLuhan, someone I highly recommend you exploring some of his literature.
And that's what it seemed like it was heading toward, like this Finnegan's Wake. I've heard of that book before, but where do you get that book?
Any bookstore library will have it. The author's James Joyce. And
oh, yeah.
That I highly recommend. There's a good book by McLuhan that you can check out called War and Peace in the Global Village. And that, along with his other book, Medium is the Massage, you can usually find at used bookstores and garage sales really cheap. And War and Peace in the Global Village has excerpts throughout it from Finnegan's Wake. And McLuhan is definitely one of the people who've explored Finnegan's Wake and from another perspective, because there's libraries of people who have interpreted it on a literary line, and it's beyond that. It basically satirizes our information overload, and I think that might be what you're caught up in, is that you've been overloaded with information, and now you're trying to pick and choose something to grasp and sort of relate to. And I think if you study the effects, which is something McLuhan wakes up, that you'll probably progress and know more. So again, I'd recommend checking some of these McLuhan things out, and have fun with Finnegan's Wake too. Don't try to read it, just contemplate it.
Is there I'm also addicted to computers. Is there a computer bulletin board that people discuss this stuff on?
No, not that I know of. There sure should be. There should be a Bob Dobbs bulletin board, and eventually I might get one going, because I'm just getting into computers myself. But
because you could start even a newsletter that is just dumped from computer to computer that way.
What, are you a subscriber to a bulletin board?
Yeah, well, I subscribed to about three of them. Well, one of them I think is the best one and is the cheapest, and you can leave email to internet too. America Online.
Uh-huh.
It's like really easy to figure out for a first-time user. And then there's the internet, but that's real cryptic. But you can send messages all over the world and download files. But you can send messages all over the world on America Online too, because it's got an internet node.
What's the third one?
Genie.
Well, what I suggest, Bill, is put my name and address on all three and say, send a self-addressed stamped envelope for more information on Bob Dobbs and the media fast. And
put information on all three bulletin boards?
Yeah, and put my name and address and say, for more information on Bob Dobbs and the media fast and Marshall McLuhan.
Okay.
Send a self-addressed stamped envelope, and if it's worldwide, outside the U.S., send, 50-cent stamp, you know, or international postal coupon, whatever.
Yeah, or I'll just put your phone number, too. I mean, should I do that?
Well, at this point, let's not put my phone number. Let's just put the because if people get the four pages that I send, which is actually eight pages because it's four two-sided pages, and they want more information, they can write me, and then I'll respond and start that up because it's too easy for people just to call, and I'm not hooked up. And if people are really interested, they'll make the little effort it takes to stamp an envelope and mail it to me. So that's the way I'd like to start it. But, Bill, hey, I welcome you calling any time if you want to discuss this further. And, you know, I'll send you Entertainment Sucks, no problem, because I think it's something you should check out. So just, you know, send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and we'll go from there. I welcome more, you know, dialogue with you.
So let me make sure that I have your address right, 2427 and a half Glendon.
Glyndon
Avenue 90291.
Right, and it's GerryFilka.
Okay, so it's your last name is Flacka?
It's Fielka.
Fielka?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
F I.
Oh, L K A.
F I A L. Yeah,
Filka. Okay.
Yeah, and I'll just send you for putting those on the.
Yeah, I'm gonna what I'm gonna do is I'm gonna go to these bulletin boards and see if they have a philosophy section,
or a cyberpunk media.
That'd be a good one. Yeah.
Put it on cyberpunk, man. Don't philosophy's a little too. Uppity.
Yeah.
But if they do, if you can put it on others, because if you send me a Xerox of the listing on any of these, I'll just send you a Bob's tape, and I'll send you Entertainment Sucks. I'll send you all kinds of stuff just for putting it on there.
Okay, and let me see. So Bob is, he's kind of a devotee of Marshall McLuhan and James Joyce. Is that what he is? I mean,
those are two of the people he studied. He studied a lot of people. He studied Frank Zappa, Mae Brussel, Dr. Peter Beter, Herbert W. Armstrong, Lyndon LaRouche. He studied a lot of people.
Uh-huh.
There's 10 holy offices, but even besides that, he's had encounters with everybody worldwide. He has direct links with Henry Kissinger to, you know, I mean, it's endless, you know. And
So he's coming from like a what's his?
It's hard to define. I mean, I call him. He's a mixed corporate media. He is essentially someone who is studying the effects and trying to pass the word on. He's a Manipian satirist as well, and you know, it's hard. People want to define him as metaphysical. Or, you know, and he's all of them. That's the important thing, is that, you know, each one of these guys, whether you're studying Alan Watts, Christian Murty, or Bucky Fuller, John Cage, Marcel Duchamp, and William Irwin Thompson, whoever you're studying, there's a little bit of Bob in all of them. And Bob has a little bit of all of them in him. That's the important thing about Bob, is that he's got the big picture down. And he's studying what you're brought up earlier, is what's beyond, you know, and not just specializing. And that's what's important, I think, is in order to acquire the beyond or tap into it, let's study a little bit of everybody and not be afraid to pick up a newspaper from Farrakhan's people or, you know, read the LA Times, just like take a look at all of it.
Yeah.
And learn how to acquire comprehensive awareness through pattern recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what he has, is pattern recognition.
Yeah, that kind of set the tone, because it really, that's what you know, it's all about anyway, is pattern recognition, especially in the arts. It's so everyday life, right?
It's an important factor in both, and the other one is figure ground. If you can understand that concept, that he touched on a little today. That's important.
Hear that? I didn't hear that because I turned on it about half hour before the program ended. So I was just listening mostly to the people that called in.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Jerry. I'm going to try to put some of this information on the bullet boards that I can.
Thanks, Bill. I really appreciate it. And just say for more information on Bill Bob Dobbs, Media Fast, and McLuhan. You know, put all three of those.
Yeah, I don't know if you can leave stuff like that on some of these boards, but especially the national ones, because they really control it.
Yeah.
You know, they don't like people putting ads for certain things on there.
Yeah, well, whatever. If you can, that'd be great.
I'll see. Okay, and I'm going to send you a self-stamped envelope, and maybe you can send me something about it, and I can take it further. I'm going to go look for those books, too. That sounds like a good, because I've been meaning to read some of McLuhan's works.
Yeah, there's two other McLuhan books you can find that are imprint. Our Laws of Media,
mm-hmm.
and The Global Village.
Okay. Okay. And
thanks, Bill.
Thank you. Bye.
Hello?
Yes. I'm calling to check on the tape, Bob Dobbs tape.
Sure.
I'm calling from Venice, as a matter of fact. I should have known this was a Venice number. How do I get the tape that I heard on KPFK this morning?
Okay, well, first of all, I suggest you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope.
Okay.
Okay, do you have a pencil?
Yeah.
Well, tell me, what intrigued you about the show?
Let's see. Well, first of all, my youngest baby woke up and I was half asleep and I just started listening. I just turned to KPFK to listen to Bill Mitchell, but it wasn't the right day. And I didn't know what I was listening to for a while because I was listening to his lecture on... The Thunders.
Right, Finnegan's Wakes.
Yeah, but at first I didn't even know that, and I'm listening and going, what? But it was very intriguing. And then I realized what it was, and my husband's a writer, and he loves a lot of the literature from that time. So I tried to wake him up to listen to it, but he was too sleepy, so I listened to it myself, and I really learned a lot, because I never really understood Finnegan's Wake at all.
But you've tried to read it?
Well, when I was in college, you know, I made a half-assed attempt when I was at Berkeley, because you were supposed to. But no, I was... 21 or whatever.
Right.
So, I studied a lot of Yeats, and I liked him, but I didn't...
You studied a lot of what?
Of W.B. Yeats.
Right.
But I was looking at it from a different context, more metaphysical. I'm an astrologer, and I was studying it more from, you know, astrological references.
Uh-huh.
So, I was just really... It was intriguing to get an overview, to understand more clearly how it, well then later on towards the end when he was putting it together with, when people were calling and he was putting it together with lots of other things that are going on in the world right now. I was really fascinating. I was trying to explain to my husband and I couldn't even begin to scratch the surface of what I got from it. So I wanted to buy the tape for him and listen to it myself again.
Great.
You know, so yeah, it was just really interesting. So, like, who is this guy? What's his story? He's obviously kind of interdimensional or something, you know.
Well, he's definitely that. He's outer dimensional too. He's both, I would say. Bob has been studying many different philosophies and writers and artists of all types for many years, so
right.
He really has a big picture view of everything,
right.
And you know, he spans from Alan Watts to Bucky Fuller to a lot of McLuhan, so
right.
Have you guys read much McLuhan?
No, I haven't, you know, so that was interesting hearing him talk about, you know, because I read a lot, you know, I listened to Alan Watts a lot, and I read a lot of Buckminster Fuller, and, you know, I was like one of my heroes, but see, then I branched off into kind of like theosophy and philosophy and astrology, and mostly I spend my time reading, you know, like astrological references and going to conferences like that.
Right.
But they talk about sociological overviews, but, you know, but mostly it's within that same discipline. You know, so I have it, but, you know, it makes me want to go back and read more. You know, just in college being, I studied a lot of philosophy and there were references to him, but more like he was an outer fringe guy because I was, you know. I was
right.
Just, studying there.
Well, the main thing is if you read McLuhan, he'll emphasize studying the effects. So it's the effect that media has had on us. In all,
right.
Everything we do is a media. So it's studying the effects of everything you do and then going from there. So
right.
What kind of literature does your husband write?
Well, lots of different things. He's working for Nickelodeon right now, but, you know, lots of different things. No, there's no seeds in there, Casey. It's seedless watermelon. They're tiny seeds. Excuse me.
That's correct. They have seedless watermelons now?
Yes. But like my five-year-old said, they're seeds. Make them really tiny, tiny, tiny seeds.
They're edible seeds.
Yeah. They edit out the big ones, and they're just like little edible ones, you know? Well, what's your what do you do? How did you get connected with this, sir?
Well, I've been dialoguing with Bob for since '88, and I've got hours and hours of it, and we've got lots of different booklets and stuff. One is that I highly recommend is "Entertainment Sucks." It's a 17-page dialogue with Bob reviewing all this what he talked about, and it applies even to both professions that you're in,
yeah,
as well as your profession as being a mother and a parent.
Right.
So,
Oh, that sounds really interesting. So, now, have you been in Venice for a long time?
Yeah, I've been in Venice for 13 years.
Oh, yeah, I've been here for about 15 years. I just figured I probably would know your face, and if I saw you anyway, I mean, from just being around Venice, maybe. You know?
Yeah, we hang out at a bench near Dudley.
Oh, okay.
From 3 to 6 every Saturday and Sunday. And we have a sign.
Mitchell? No.
Yeah, I produce Bill Mitchell's show.
Oh, okay. Well, I probably know you because I've been a friend of Bill's for a long time, too.
Yeah.
So
what's your name?
So if I saw you, I probably know you from that because I used to hang. I still do sometimes stop and talk to Bill. And matter of fact, I babysat his kids a lot when they're visiting.
What's your name?
My name's Kay.
Kay?
Yeah. And
what's your last name?
Olson. O-L-S-O-N.
Oh, is your are you guys connected with the comedian Bob Goldthwait?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I met you once then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, I know, because I figured Venice isn't really that big, so I would have to, you know.
Right. Well, I'm really glad you
on some level, you know. So I was really, yeah, I actually turned on this morning, wasn't sure if this was Bill's morning. That's the reason I turned it on.
Bill's on next week, yeah.
That's why I heard at the very end of the show they said next week. So, but,
yeah.
So I turned on hoping to hear him, and then I was like going, wow, this is fascinating. Who's this guy, you know? This is great. Well, you know, yeah, I'd like to order do you have Entertainment Sucks then, or how do I do that?
Yeah, why don't you do this? I'll send you, like, if you want the Finnegan's Wake tape, that's 90 minutes.
Okay.
And today's show is 60 minutes with the after. So it's,
okay,
it's 2.5 hours, and then Entertainment Sucks. I don't know, if you send me $10, that will cover it all.
Oh, that would be great.
And then you put your address in there, and I can just hand deliver it to you or something.
Okay, yeah.
You know, or we'll just
going to say, are you going to be around? Are you going to be around today or tomorrow? I mean,
yeah, I'll be there at the bench today for sure from 3 to 6, so you can just come by. Because I have a sign up that says electricity killed humanity.
Oh,
in it.
Okay.
So you can just stop by.
Yeah, you
Hello?
Yes, hi. I was calling about Bob Dodds.
Great. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Hollywood. I heard him on the radio this morning, and
great.
I found it quite fascinating.
What's your name?
My name is Tim Doherty.
Tim, tell me, what did you find fascinating about him?
Well, I read a lot of stuff about electromagnetics, cellular memory, that kind of stuff. So I found some of the stuff he was saying quite interesting on those topics.
Who specifically do you read in that regard?
Oh, anything I get my hands on. I read a lot of theosophical stuff, too, like Madame Blavatsky and all of that on root races and, you know, beginnings of the universe, all of that as well.
Uh-huh. So what specifically was Bob saying that you found intriguing?
Well, the thing about the, what were they called, the booties?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty interesting because I read this book, The Sirius Connection.
Yes, who's that by?
I forget the guy's name. It's all about, like, the Assyrians.
Uh-huh.
And how they believe, you know, that fish god, what's it, Uranus?
Uh-huh.
That was like an alien contact, you know, with the human race.
Uh-huh.
And that it comes from the star system, you know, the Sirius star.
Uh-huh.
And that there's this tribe in Africa, the Dogons.
Yes.
And they know, for centuries they've worshipped the star Sirius and believe that, like, the Earth was peopled by that in some way, contact with, you know, whatever civilization was there. And they know the exact elliptical orbit of the star Sirius. They knew it was a binary system for all these years, and it wasn't even discovered scientifically until the 1930s.
Hmm.
It's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you can get that sort of at, like, occult bookstores and stuff like that. I was wondering if there's any way to get a tape of the show, because it started real early. How early was he on? Because I woke up to it.
Yeah, it's two and a half hours, so it's a 90-minute tape of Bob talking about Finnegan's Wake and the Ten Thunders, and then it's a 60-minute tape for the live part.
Okay.
So it would be $10 for both tapes.
Oh, that's no problem.
Yeah, and if you send a self-addressed stamped envelope, do you have a pencil? Great. Have you ever read much McLuhan or James Joyce Finnegan's Wake?
No, I haven't. I've read, you know, some Joyce. But...
Yeah. Well, those are two I would highly recommend, and check out some McLuhan.
What's his first name, the McLuhan guy?
Marshall McLuhan. There's two books. There's five books of his in print.
All right.
And Medium is the Massage. You'll get a list from me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What's the story? See, friends of mine, I'm from Boston originally. I've only been out here about a year. And friends of mine were, like, involved in, like, the Church of the Subgenius.
Yeah, where were they involved? In Boston?
Right, and I guess, you know, there were different, like, club events and theme things.
Yes.
I wasn't involved in it myself. Like, how much was he involved in that? Because he was sort of dismissing it.
Well... He was the inspiration for them.
He was dismissing what they were doing now, or that he hadn't had involvement in a long, long time.
Yeah, that's true. He hasn't had much of an involvement, but Stang is still very active. He has three books out. He's the guy who basically started publishing stuff out of Texas, and his fourth book is due out soon, and I recommend checking those out, too.
Yeah, what was the book he's talking about? Something Common Sense or something? Communion?
Phatic. No, Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs.
That was PH?
That's PH. Do you know what Phatic Communion is?
No.
Well, Phatic Communion is like if you had a flat tire and you're fixing it on the side of the road and I came along and I said, hey, got a flat tire? Well, you don't say, well, of course I do. It's evident, you know. You sort of say, yeah. You know, it's sort of like just social greeting, how people talk nowadays. And it's a very interesting book. You will get the address where you can order that, actually. We've been trying to get copies, like, at the Phoenix and some of the bookstores, but we haven't gotten them here yet, so... There is an address in Canada that you can order it from, and that address will be in the literature I send you.
Okay. That's great.
But, Tim, I really appreciate you calling, and was there anything that you found confusing that Bob said or that you didn't quite get? Or?
Well, I was just sort of waking up, so I was just trying to, like, process what I could. You know, but it seemed to go by really fast, and he was going from, like, one deep topic to another one.
Right.
So, but I liked his idea of metaphysical promiscuity. That was pretty great.
Good. And I hope you will be able to tune in November 27th.
I've already made a note of it.
Yeah, and then you'll be able to, you know...
What time does that air? Because, see, I would have...
6 to 8.30 is David's show every Saturday.
6 to 8.30.
Yeah.
But what did they say in, the Church of the Subgenius that he was, like, assassinated or something?
Oh, yeah, they've gone through a whole thing that he was assassinated.
Right, yeah, because I thought that was sort of peculiar.
Yeah. Yeah, it's often interesting when I meet people who are claim themselves to be subgenius.
Right.
And I say, well, I know Bob Dobbs, and they go, what do you mean? He's been assassinated. In fact, Robert Anton Wilson thinks sometimes that he's Bob Dobbs, and basically Stang based most of all his stuff on Robert Anton Wilson stuff.
Right. Oh, yeah. Go on. I don't know. You know Philip K. Dick?
Yes.
That guy. Do you know anything about that biography about him that's out? I haven't really found it anywhere. Like, a couple of years ago, I saw someone on a bus, and it's like the
Haven't seen that one. Have you tried Phoenix and Mandala?
Where's that?
Well, Phoenix is in Santa Monica. Mandala Bookstore is in Santa Monica.
Oh, it's on Third, Santa Monica Boulevard, right, Mandala?
Yeah, Mandala is. And then the other one is Dutton's on San Vicente. I'd call all those.
Okay.
But there's science fiction bookstores also in the valley. And, you know, listen to Mike Hodel's Science Fiction Hour on Friday nights on KPFK. And if you call them up, they'll know how to get it.
Friday night, what's the guy's name?
Mike Hodel's.
Mike Hodel.
It's a science fiction show on KPFK, and I'm guessing it's sort of like 9 to 11-ish. Yeah, and they'll tell you where to get the book in the actual title.
Yeah, that's like the coolest radio station I've ever heard. I think besides like the University of Albuquerque when I was out in New Mexico, that there was some, or not, I don't know if it was there, it was some town on the border of Colorado and New Mexico, some college station. They had like the wildest stuff on there.
Yeah. Well, do you listen to Roy?
No.
Well, dang, dude, you're missing it all. That's the best. It's midnight.
I just started listening to this.
Okay, midnight to 6, Monday through Thursday night.
Oh, I probably did. I probably heard the other night he was interviewing this.
He's got all kinds of
this
people.
This Buddhist monk guy.
Yes.
It was on like the night before last.
Yeah, Roy is very good.
Yeah, okay. I appreciate it.
Well, Tim, good to hear from you.
Do you guys ever, have, get-togethers or any sort of...
Well, we're
extra series or
we have all kinds of things. We put on we help put on Dave Emery. He's a political researcher. He'll be at Phoenix October 2nd and at the Grassy Knoll November 20th. And
I've heard of that place.
Yep, and
because I'm into Noam Chomsky and all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and there's all kinds of events. Just stay tuned to KPFK and send me a self-addressed stamped envelope and just give me a call anytime.
Hey, great.
Well, you can just send me $10 if you want, and I'll send you the two tapes.
Okay, well, I'm in a hotel right now. I'm sort of in between apartments. So I'm I'll get my work address. I'll probably do that.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever you want to do, that's good.
Okay, hey, I really, really appreciate it.
Hey, thank you, Tim.
Oh, you made my day this morning.
Thank you.
On that show.
Thank
fabulous.
You. That's great.
Bye-bye.
Thanks. Hello?
Yes, is Bob in?
Bob's not here, but I can give you information. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from L.A.
And what's your name?
My name is Tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
Yes.
Oh, great to hear from you. What did you hear? Did you hear the show this morning?
I heard the show this morning. He said he would have the tape, but my question is, would he have the questions and answers also on the tape?
Oh, yeah. You mean, we have a tape of the show, yeah.
Yeah, and it would have the questions that when people were calling in.
Oh, right. We heard your question.
Oh, not my question. There was another man's question I was quite interested in also.
Oh, yeah. It's on the tape.
Yeah. And that's why I wanted to hear that question over again. And are you the man that was on the radio?
I was interviewing Bob in the first 90 minutes about Finnegan's Wake.
Oh, okay. See, and I just came in sort of late when he was discussing the Finnegan Wake, but I was quite interested in when he spoke about the language, and he was talking about this year's set in the Cain issue in Genesis, I guess.
Yes.
Yeah, that was one part I was interested in, and that's why I asked him what resources was he using and what was he referring to.
Well, yeah, I understood your question. I think there was a little confusion there. Basically, there's a book called Finnegan's Wake, and it's by James Joyce.
Okay, now, wait 1 second. James Joyce, could I pick up this here book from you or what?
Oh, you can get it at any bookstore, any good bookstore or library. It's readily available.
Can you say say the name again?
The author's name is James. That's J-A-M-E-S.
Oh, I have that, but I'm talking...
Oh, and the last name is J-O-Y-C-E.
Okay. Now...
J-O-Y-C-E.
I have that. I'm talking about the title of the book.
The title of the book is F-I-N-N...
Mm-hmm.
E-G-A-N-S.
Yes.
The second word is Wake, W-A-K-E.
See, seem like I saw that book if I don't have it in my library.
Right. So now you got to understand that Bob has used many sources to analyze the Ten Thunders of Finnegan's Wake.
Uh-huh.
He's studied a lot of Marshall McLuhan, and that's another writer who has studied Finnegan's Wake. So I would say to you to seek out Marshall McLuhan books. If you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I will send you some information, and that will help you acquire more of this information.
I sure would, because when you mentioned about this, the Ten Thunders.
Right. The Ten Thunders are 10 100-letter words. So James Joyce made up a 100-letter word 10 times. There's 10 different thunders in this book.
Oh.
And so Bob basically for 90 minutes analyzed the 10 thunders and told you what he thought each one meant.
I see. Well, that sounds quite interesting. Now, this here person that wrote this here book, can I purchase it also?
Finnegan's Wake?
Oh, that's the one that you're still referring to.
Right, but if you're talking about Marshall McLuhan books, he has 20 books out. Marshall McLuhan's written 20 different books. And Bob Dobbs, who was actually on the radio, he has one book out.
Okay, Bob Dobbs.
D-O-B-B-S.
Oh, that's what I thought.
But he doesn't have books in bookstores. His one book, you can get it through the mail.
Okay.
And as well, if you're ready, I'll give you my address,
okay,
and then you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope.
What size?
Regular size.
Okay, now, what is the name of Bob's book, though, before we leave?
Bob's book is called Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs.
Okay, Phatic.
That's spelled P-H-A-T-I-C. Communion with Bob Dobbs. Now, do you know what phatic communion is?
No.
Well, I'll tell you, it's very simple. If you were stuck on the side of the road with a flat tire and you were sitting there trying to fix it, and I came up to you and I said, hey, got a flat tire? Well, of course you got a flat, you know, I can see you got a flat tire and, you know, it's a stupid question, but it's just sort of how we communicate with each other. It's a social way of communicating. It's like, hey, how you doing, you know? Weather's fine, yeah. You know, it's just that sort of social way.
Uh-huh.
So that's what Bob Dobbs' book is very interesting and very unique. You can acquire that through the mail from a Toronto address that I'll send you. So if you're ready, I'll give you my name and address.
Oh, wait one second. Let me get one more flashcard. I'm writing all this information on flashcards here. That was passed away. Now I'm ready for your address. It's your book of Bob Dobbs. You'll send the information how I can purchase that?
Yes.
Okay. And now I would be interested in this here Methuen person.
McLuhan is spelled M-C-L-U-H-A-N.
H-A-N.
Now, his books are a little harder to get, but you can go to good bookstores, and I will as well send you a list. He has 20 books, but only 5 of them are in print.
Okay. I would appreciate that list of his books, then.
So what intrigued you the most about listening to Bob?
Well, I've heard this made twice. I've turned on this radio. Normally, I don't. What he was talking about the first time, electricity and changing a thought pattern or something that he said he could interject and stop, that he's in control.
Mm-hmm.
And I was interested in how could he do this here. And today was, again, about this language that I'm interested in. And
how did you find out he was on the radio today?
It just so happened, like I said, I'm not a person on the radio, and I was late to turn on the radio.
You just happened to turn it on.
I don't think it would just happen to be, because I've turned him on twice now.
Just per chance you've turned him on both times.
Yes, uh-huh. And both times I understood to a certain extent what he was talking about. But I have no one that I could even talk on that level with that I don't even talk on that level. Anyway.
Right.
But another lady was asking the question, well, how can they come across people of somebody like Bob? I say, well, it's hard to do unless you're in that environment. And I just don't think people just going to just sit down and start talking on this level anyway,
mm-hmm,
to someone unless they know they can commune with certain people. And so happened, I guess you referred to the Spinnaker Way. I have always been interested in the Genesis story. Now, I don't know if that has anything to do with Genesis story because of the name he was using. That's what caught my interest also.
Mm-hmm.
Now, was he referring to the book of Genesis?
Well, he talks about Cain and Abel a little. And see, Finnegan's Wake is the history of man, the history of technology and what it's done to man.
Uh-huh.
The Bible is definitely an extension of the technologies of religion and the technology of literature.
Mm-hmm.
So what James Joyce did was fuse everything together. He used 65 different languages. This book is very hard to read if you're used to just reading normal books.
No, I'm not.
Right, so then maybe you should read it, because it would be fun for you. But the thing is that what one needs to realize is that you can contemplate Finnegan's Wake. You really can't read it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting, your attraction here. But did you say you were blind?
Partially. I lost my left eye of a penny muggin, and I wind up allowing the doctor to create a symptom on my right eye. So I have ran into problems such as with the cornea.
So, but you're still able to read, or do you use Braille?
No, I'm able to read. I'm getting ready for another cornea transplant next month. But I have a computer. As you know, the technology give people leeway in a lot of areas, which they have a synthesizer that talks and enlarges. Then they have another device that enlarges print, like the Macintosh enlarged print on its own, but I don't have a Macintosh. I have IBM. Now, I just found out about a scanner I could purchase that will scan any book and put on my in my system.
And it enlarges it on your video, on your monitor.
That's right.
That's great.
Through by a mouse, you can use a mouse or, this particular system that I acquired is through by the mouse that enlarges. One program is called, I would have to really refer to the paper to tell you the name of the system.
Right. Well, I'm really glad you tuned in. I thought your question was well done. And I would encourage you to tune in on November 27th.
I will.
And that will be 6 to 8:30 for 2.5 hours.
Okay, that's what we wanted to know. What time?
It starts at 6, yeah, 6 to 8:30.
So now, Bob, do he have... Someone kept mentioning about another radio program.
Well, he was on the radio in Toronto for 4 years.
Oh, okay.
So all he's got lots of tapes over the years. But, start off with you sending me a self-addressed stamped envelope, and there'll be some information for you. You can check it out further and then go from there.
Well, tell me, the first time I heard him on radio when he was talking about what he could stop, what area was he referring to? I didn't get the full gist.
Well, I'm not sure he was wanting to stop anything. Bob is not against electricity, but by the fact that he says, let's have a media fast, he's encouraging people to turn off electricity for 2 days or 2 weeks or 2 months, study the effects, and then turn it back on.
Okay.
See, people are subsumed by electricity. It's basically killed humanity. And that means that it's sort of like, do you know anybody who watches TV and it doesn't matter what's on TV? They just watch TV.
That's right.
Well, see, we learn to communicate by word of mouth. And then we progress to books and printed matter. And then the third way was basically electricity, which was telegraph, telephone, television, computers. And the third way basically killed humanity, and it's just subsumed humanity. Now, there's good things about electricity, and there's bad things. Like all technologies, they have services and disservices. And we need to study the effects more of electricity, because that's what's happened. We just got subsumed by it, and we're all zombies to the electronic state.
That's right. Now, that's what I would like to have more information in also.
Well, you'll get more information on all that, and then you can study it and explore it further. And you have my number. You can call me anytime.
Okay, well, I sure will be getting an envelope off to you today. And now the Bob book, Bob, you said I will be able to get it through you.
Through a mail order company in Toronto.
Oh, okay then.
Yeah.
Okay, well, thanks a lot.
Thanks a lot, tomorrow.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Hello?
Oh, Bob?
No, this is Jerry. Who's calling?
Yeah, Ron Garner. I heard him on the radio this morning. I wanted to find out more about what you guys are doing over there.
Hi, Ron. Where are you calling from?
I'm in Laguna Hills.
All right.
I've studied a lot of the same things, but I've heard you just briefly one time before, but now I want to get really involved.
All right. Well, what exactly intrigued you about this time?
I've been studying a lot about after-death experience, near-death experience. I'm on the board of APARC, Association for Past Life Research and Therapy.
The Association for what?
Past Life Research.
Oh, Past Life, okay.
And Therapy. You're off of Riverside, and I'm studying hypnotism and so forth. And I give talks on reincarnation and out-of-body experience. The idea of the spiral and the multidimensional time is fascinating.
Okay, do you have a pencil?
Yeah. About the last half of it, I didn't get the first part. What was being said there? Is that tape going to be available? Do they have it at KPFK, or do you have?
You can send me. You can send me money for the. Do you want the whole Finnegan's Wake 90-minute tape?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you can send $10, and I'll send you both tapes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. What exactly about the spiral were they saying that intrigued you?
Well, I just know that exactly that's the metaphor and the image that people need to know about. I can go into a lot of detail, but having to do with...
Why do they need to know about it?
Well, because we don't have a framework in our normal consciousness, from my point of view, to understand these. So we have to use metaphors. So the Nautilus, the spiral image, you can get a hold of that. Because my belief is that we're living all of our incarnations one time. They're not sequential. And so that's why you can tap into that dimension, you know, at a particular time and space, whenever that comes up for you. For example, I'm working, I don't know if you've heard of a lady by the name of Marge Reeder. Hypnotherapist in Lake Elsinore, and she just found 27 people in Lake Elsinore that were together in Millbrae, Virginia in the 1860s during the Civil War. She's going to be on, I'm a publicist for her, and she's going to be on Larry King Live next Wednesday, and she has a new book out called Mission to Millbrae. Live videotaped four people being hypnotized and aggressed at the same time. They interact among themselves in this life, in her living room, as they were back in Millbrae, Virginia in the 1860s. And I've had many long discussions with the people about how that's affected their lives, their present lives, being in touch with that information. Other dimensions that are put in subconscious, soul memory, oversoul seven, whatever terminology you want to use for it. And so I'm working with these people in consciousness research, and any metaphor that you can use, the spiral is the best that I know of. And I've tried to read Finnegan's Wake, and I know Joseph Campbell said in one of his interviews that his wife said that he loved Finnegan's Wake more than he did her, because all during the courtship, that's all he carried around with him. Several years. In the same way that Carl Jung carried around the Tibetan Book of the Dead for years. So obviously there's all kinds of depths of meaning there. And I just caught a little brief part of it this morning, so I want to find out more.
That's good. And have you ever read Marshall McLuhan?
Yeah, he's one of my favorites.
Oh, good. What books have you read by him?
Can't remember the titles right now.
Mm-hmm.
But
Well, that's good, Ron. I really appreciate you calling and expressing your reaction. And I'll send you these four pages, and then we can go from there. You have my number. You can call me anytime. And
have various classes?
We don't have classes yet, but someday we'll have Dobbstown University started, so you can definitely attend workshops there. When is this woman on Larry King, and what's her name again?
Her name?
Yeah.
Is Marge Reeder, R-E-I-D-E-R.
And she's on Larry King Radio or TV?
No, TV, Larry King Live, this next Wednesday, the 29th, I think it is. And people from the study are going to be on there.
Great.
And just a couple others. Do you know who Dr. Brian Weiss is?
I don't. Tell me.
He's somebody you should know about. He's a psychiatrist out of Florida, and in 1984, he's a regular Jewish psychiatrist, no metaphysics, no background in spiritual matters to speak of, and he had a woman that had all these phobias he worked with for 3 years, and nothing worked. So he thought, well, I've used every trick in my bag here, so I'll just try hypnosis. So he put her under, regressed her back to age 3. He found out that there was some kind of slight child molestation. Brought her back out, worked with her for 3 more months, still didn't help. He still had all these phobias about water and about dying and different things. So he thought, oh, maybe something happened earlier. So he regressed her again. They told her to go back to where the trauma first started. She popped back into an incarnation 2000 BC, told about this temple, you know, the Nile River flooding and her being underwater and a baby being torn from her arms. Do you have another call?
No.
So,
go ahead.
Anyway, got in touch with all that, brought her back out, and then she was totally healed of all of her phobias. And he was just blown away. And he has all the audio tapes. While she was in that state, these beings started talking to him. And the beings said, told all about his life, his Jewish name, that not even his, the ancient name that not even his wife knew, told about his son that had a heart reversal and died in childbirth, that nobody knew about these things, and told him other things. So he was troubled. He wanted to get this information out, but he was a professional standing at the stake, and so he sat on the material for about 3 years. So in 87, he came out with a book called Many Lives, Many Masters, Dr. Brian Weiss, W-E-I-S-S, and in which he told about this story I just told you, plus a lot more. So as in the wake of that book, all these psychotherapists and psychiatrists from all the world said, so I'm so glad he came out of the closet, I had the same experience, and so he has a new book out called Healing Through Time. This came out last year, which is more experiences from other psychotherapists and some more of his since his first research. Anyway, he's going to be on 2020 this next Friday.
Oh, really?
He was on, he's been on the, he's on the circuit. He was on Oprah, he's on Christina's show. Marge Reeder was also on Donahue, Oprah, all those shows.
Uh-huh.
But her book, the publisher she had at that time, didn't have the books out. She had the best publicity you could ever have. Anyway, I hooked her up with Blue Dolphin Books, and the book's out now, redone in the first person. So she's ready this time when she goes on the talk show.
Well, do you work with Blue Dolphin?
I work with them, yeah.
Yeah, because I just saw Nancy Cook DeHerrera at the Phoenix the other day.
Oh, yeah?
In her book, Beyond Gurus. Do you know that one?
I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's on Blue Dolphin.
Yeah, they're really in tune with these things. In fact, I was talking to the publisher's wife last Saturday. We had sort of the kickoff for the new book, Mr. Milborough. And do you know about the Cathars in France?
No, I don't.
Heard of them? It was a group of people in the 1400s, 1500s, 1600s that the Catholic Church burned at the stake. They were what I call the Buddhists of the West. They were vegetarians. They believed in reincarnation. They were healers. And the church wanted to eradicate them from the priesthood. And so they went on these crusades. And for about 300 years, they burned them at the stake, and all the people protected them because they loved them so much. so wonderful to all the people. Anyway, the I've only found three instances of group reincarnation where it was verifiable. One is Marge Rita's work, and then Gerdheim, he's a psychiatrist from England, where he's found several people that were in the Cathars. So I was talking to the wife of the publisher of Blue Dolphin, and she believes that she was a reincarnated Cathar. So I'm trying to find some information about the Cathars. I like to do a documentary film about them. I used to be a film editor for Fox in the mortgage business. Now I raise money for these. But I'm very interested in getting this information out to people, because there's so much that is coming through from past lives that people don't know how to deal with. And just to give you one more example, there's a Dr. Melvin Morse. He's a pediatrician in Seattle. He heard about Dr. Brian Weiss's work. In fact, I'll send some of this information to you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Photocopies and things. And he thought it was a good test to test children that had near-death experiences. So it's a very exhaustive study, about 800 children worldwide. They had a control group of children that had come close to death but not, had not had near-death experience. And all these children, you know, told the same stories about seeing this being of light. Some people called it Jesus, some kids called it Santa Claus or Easter Bunny or whatever their paradigm was from their culture. And felt the love all around them, heard the wishing sound, all the things. You know about Raymond Moody's work, don't you? Life After Life. And something else you should know about. Anyway.
That's very interesting. I appreciate if you send any literature. And let me ask you, who is the Blue Dolphin publisher? What's his name?
I think I've got his card here. Let me see. But I was so glad that they were so open to all of this.
Right.
That someone else, you know, I don't know if you saw Unsolved Mysteries this last Wednesday.
I didn't.
There's a story on there about it's a book called The Submarine Man.
Mm-hmm.
And that's another hypnotherapist out of Glendora. And he regressed this fellow because he had a fear of water. In fact, he lost his job because of his fear of water. In fact, he couldn't go near a swimming pool. Even he got so phobic about it that he couldn't even sit in a bathtub full of water. So he was regressed, and it turns out that he was drowned in a submarine, World War II. Gave his name, gave the Pacific where the ship went down, all these things. After several regressions, they went back to Washington, D.C., found his name and all the logs where the submarine was. Everything he told in regression was true in Navy records. Anyway, it was on Unsolved Mysteries last Wednesday. The guy was on there. Part of it was reenactment. Part of it was, actual footage. They went to where he grew up as a young boy, talked to the neighbors. It's just a little aside there. When he told about when he was regressed that he had a thing about when he'd get a loaf of bread, he would eat both crusts off of it. And that was just the thing he did as a kid. So on camera, they interviewed the neighbor that knew this young boy and said, did he have any strange eating habits, not prompting her or anything? And he said, yeah, he had a funny thing. He'd eat both ends of the bread when he'd come over to my house and things. So it was just a little thing that was confirmation of what was coming through. Blue Dolphin Publishing, the president is Paul M. Clemens, C-L-E-M-E-N-S.
C-L-E-M-E-N-S. All right.
And his address, mailing address, is Post Office Box 1908, Nevada City,
mm-hmm.
California,
mm-hmm.
95959.
Great.
And the phone number is 916-265-6925. He has an 800 number, 643-0765. Blue Dolphin Publishing.
Thanks a lot, Ron. It was really a pleasure talking to you.
Nice talking to you, and I'm sure we'll be interacting in the future.
Good.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Hello?
Hello, is this Bob Dobbs?
No, it isn't, but this is Jerry, and I can help you. Did you hear the show this morning?
Well, you know, I only came in when they started getting the phone calls. I didn't hear the most important part, and it sounds awesome, and I'm hungry for more.
Well, that's good. What's your name?
Cynthia.
Say the first name again.
Cynthia.
Mm-hmm. Where are you calling from?
The west side off of Sepulveda and Rose or Overland area.
Great. Well, there's lots more I can tell you about. But first, do you have a pencil?
Yeah.
I'll give you my address.
Okay.
That's right. So what intrigued you about it?
Well, I've had some metaphysical type experiences in my past which are unexplainable, and this seems to be would lead me to some understanding of what was happening to me. When I was about 12, I used to hear entire symphonies for hours going on and on, and I had no schooling in music or anything, but I heard these
in your mind's ear?
Yeah, I heard it. I mean, it was like hearing it, actually hearing it, but there was no sound, you know, no one else could hear it, but I could. And it didn't go on all the time. It was just, you know, on a weekly basis, that it might happen once or twice, and it would go on for 3 or 4 or 5 hours.
And you would just sit there and experience it?
And I would just, yeah, I would love it. I would just listen to it. And then another thing that happened that was really weird is that I was eight, and my parents were missionaries in Thailand, and there were no other Caucasians around, and I woke up in the middle of the night because my little dog was barking, and when I opened my eyes and looked to the foot of my bed, and there was this beautiful, awesome being. She was dressed in a pair of my mother's pajamas. She had long silken hair, and she sat on the cedar chest as if she was watching me, and I was terrified because my parents had told me that any spirits were evil, and so I tried to hush my dog up and huddled in the mosquito net and told myself that if this was a dream, that Mother wouldn't ask me why the dog barked last night, and if Mother asked me why the dog was barking, then to me that was an indication that it was real. And the first thing she said to me in the morning was, Cynthia, what was the dog barking about last night? I almost came into your room to check what was wrong. And I ran to her dresser door and pulled out all the pajamas, and I couldn't find the pair that I had recognized that this being was wearing. So I went downstairs and I told the servants, I said, I saw a spirit wearing Mother's clothes, but it wasn't a spirit because she wasn't transparent. She looked as solid as you and I, but her movements were so fluid that I think now perhaps she wasn't as dense as we are physically.
She wasn't as dense?
No, I don't think she was.
Right, but did you use the word spirit to the servants?
Yes, I did use the word spirit to the servants.
Was your mother hearing you tell this to the servants?
I was terrified to tell her because she would think that it was evil.
Right, but did she hear you telling this to the servants?
No,
okay.
My mother didn't understand Thai, and I was speaking Thai with the servants.
I see.
And anyway, they told me, they said, this is a sign. In 1 year, your mother will be dead. Yeah, and she was. She was killed in an accident. And
did you tell your mother this?
No, because my mother didn't believe. My mother was Seventh-day Adventist, and these servants are Buddhist, and they're very into the supernatural. They could tell what the geckos were talking about, and I used to listen to them, you know.
Did they raise you Seventh-day Adventist?
My parents raised me Seventh-day Adventist, but I've spent more of my time with the Buddhist servants and playing in the Buddhist temple that was across the street.
In sense, then, you would say you've practiced more Buddhism than anything?
Oh, I don't know if I'm Buddhist. I have that in me, but I believe in everything.
I see.
In Osiris, I believe. in everything.
That's amazing.
I like Alan Watts. I like Joseph Campbell. And I think every religion leads to God.
Yes.
And we're all so different that we just need different recipes to reach that, to reach what we're reaching for.
Did you ever tell your dad about this event?
No, my dad thinks that I went in leagues with the devil.
That you what?
He thinks that I went in leagues with the devil, and that's why my mother died. Because before the accident, I had had a dream that the bus would turn over, which it did, which was what killed my mother. And I told him that I had a dream and insisted that he bring along medicine, first aid, and I wouldn't go unless he went by the clinic to pick it up. And so he thinks that I had knowledge. Since I had knowledge of it, that I was to blame.
How old were you when it happened?
9.
When your mother died?
Yeah.
Have you stayed close to your dad all these years?
No, my dad and I have never been close.
Are you an only child?
No, I was the oldest of 4.
Did you tell any of your other brothers and sisters?
No.
You never told them either?
Listen, I just felt deeply impressed that I wasn't to tell anyone.
No, I understand that. I'm just asking. Did you ever tell this to other people?
Very few people have I told this to, because when you tell it to someone who doesn't believe and they scoff and doubt, then it causes you not to believe in yourself.
But why did you choose to tell it to me? What in the Bob Dobbs radio show would indicate to you to say this to me?
Because he believes in extraterrestrials and in other phenomena that occurs as being real and not crazy, and that you can trust, you know, you can trust your senses. If something occurs, it isn't because you're crazy or bad or mad. It's because it's real.
Well, that's good. I really appreciate the experience of you telling me that, and I believe you 100-fold. How much of the show did you hear? Did you hear all 2.5 hours?
No, I only heard the last 30 minutes. Only the last 20 or 30 minutes is all I got.
Have you ever read Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce?
No, I want to now.
Yeah, I would encourage you to pursue that, as well as, have you read Annie Marshall McLuhan?
No, I haven't. And it's a whole world that's just opening up to me.
Well, good. I hope... Once you receive some of this literature, you'll pursue it and definitely stay in touch. You have my phone number. You can call me anytime. If you send me self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages. And
okay.
Do you ever go over to the Phoenix bookstore?
No, I just moved here. I don't know where it is, but
where did you move from?
Well, I was in San Bernardino for a long, long time. Before that, Alaska. And then I moved in January up to Tarzana. And then just a few weeks ago, moved down here.
Uh-huh.
So I'm new to this area. Is Finnegan's Wake is written by James Joyce?
Yes.
Okay. And how do you pronounce your last name?
My last name is Fielka.
Fielka?
Yeah. Hold on one sec. Hello?
Yeah, good morning. My name is Les Dimmick. Were you on the radio this morning on KPFK?
I was, Les. I appreciate you calling. Tell me what intrigued you about the call, the show.
Well, to be honest, I just got in the car and you guys were finishing, but it sounded really exciting. All I heard was the speed of the mind and the speed of light. And I just caught the tail end of it, and they gave a phone number, and I tried to remember it. I didn't have anything to write it down with.
Well, you got a good memory because you called the right number.
What's your name?
My name is Jerry Fielka. Do you have a pencil now?
I got it. I'm writing your name down as we speak.
Okay.
Did you write a book, Jerry? Or?
No, I'll explain to you. Let me tell you first that if you send me a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll send you 4.5 pages of information.
Oh, great.
Okay, we had Bob Dobbs on for 2.5 hours. The first 90 minutes was Bob explaining the Ten Thunders of Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce. Have you ever read that book?
No, I haven't. And I guess Bob Dobbs was maybe one of the men that the name jumped out at me, and I didn't know why.
Yeah, well, Bob was, after we discussed the Ten Thunders for 90 minutes, then the last hour was Bob live taking calls.
Is Bob an author of the book or something?
Bob has written a book called Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs, which I'll send you some literature, and you can get it through the mail. Do you know what phatic communion is?
I don't.
Well, that's like if you were fixing a flat on the side of the road, and I came by, and I said, got a flat tire? Well, it's evident you got a flat tire, and you probably wouldn't go, of course I've got a flat tire, can't you see? You would just sort of go, yep, got a flat tire. And it's just sort of that social way of communicating that we do. So it's an interesting book. The other person I'm curious if you've ever checked out is Marshall McLuhan.
No. Uh-huh.
He's another author, if I was you, I'd check out if you're interested in this stuff. He's written about 20 books, and you'll get a list from me.
Oh, super.
There's about five of them in print.
Okay, super. Well, I appreciate it very much. Yeah, I'm really interested in stuff like this.
Tune in November 27th, 6 to 8:30.
To go back in the late 70s, I had what was then called the peak experience. And so
what happened?
All this stuff really fascinates me. Well, it was like the sun got... I was in Palm Springs, Cathedral City, actually, out in the desert about 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It was a cool... well, it was never cool in Palm Springs. It was in the autumn, October, November. And it was like the sun just got about... 150 times brighter than it was normally, but yet it was, you know, there was no increase in temperature. It was very cool, and then later it became apparent that the light was not outside but inside. It was coming from inside me somewhere, and
it was coming from inside you. And were you all alone?
Yeah, I was alone.
And how did you see it if it was coming from inside you?
Because I looked around externally to try to find out where this light was coming from, and I never, you know, I went a whole 360-degree circle trying to find out where it was coming from. And it, you know, there was no source. The sun was...
Have you told people about this?
Oh, yeah, sure.
And what do they usually, how do they respond?
Well, you know, the first place I went was a psychiatrist because, you know, I was raised a Catholic and all this kind of stuff. And this was a very, 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 very powerful experience.
How long did this experience last?
Oh, just a few, God, I don't know, I'd say just a few seconds.
And you had never been to a psychiatrist before?
No.
And so on your own... belief, you said, oh, I'm going to go to a psychiatrist, not on other people saying that to you?
No, I talked to some people. I said, geez, you know, this is really weird. And I couldn't find anybody that had...
Believed you?
Yeah, understood what I was talking about. I mean, it's such a powerful thing.
But were they saying, go see a psychiatrist?
No. Uh-uh.
So you just said, maybe I'll try this.
Yeah, I wanted to see what medical scientists had to say. And I read a book by, Baba Ram Dass. I can't remember his name. Timothy...
No, Baba Ram Dass is Richard Alpert.
Richard Alpert, yeah. And that was probably Be Here Now.
Was that before or after?
No, that was after. That book literally, I felt like it saved my life because
it's sort of...
well, he described the same stuff that I had experienced, you know. So
But what did the psychiatrist tell you?
Well, he said I had a mental breakdown.
You're kidding.
No, he said that he called it a mental breakthrough, which I guess was a little bit more positive way of saying it. It depended upon who I talked with.
How old were you when it happened?
Oh, I was probably early 30s, late 20s. And it depended, again, upon whose point of reference. You know, if I talked to a psychiatrist, it was some kind of a mental breakthrough. If I talked to a Hindu, it was, you know, one thing. A Buddhist, it was nirvana. The Christians called it rapture, you know. So everybody has a different name for it, but, you know.
And it's never happened again.
No. Well, I've come close a couple times, I want to get...
Did you ever use psychedelic drugs?
Not extensively. I had, no.
But before or after?
No.
But was it similar to that?
Because that's what Leary and Alpert were saying.
Right.
All the same thing. If you talk to a drug devotee, it was called a peak experience.
Right.
So, yeah.
But you took it as a positive thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. yeah, that's the other thing. I had a neighbor whose sister was buying these books from this tapes from this preacher guy. I can't remember his name now. This was so many years ago, and she like went crazy, and she had the same experience, but she ended up in Camarillo, you know. So it's pretty weird.
But what exactly in the Bob dialogue said to you, I should check this out?
Oh, somebody was talking about the speed of light and versus the speed of mind, and how when you're in this mode, you enter a much higher level of consciousness. That was what I just kind of picked up on. I wasn't really paying that much attention because, you know, like I said, I just got in the car, turned it on, and go, whoa, this is good stuff, you know.
Right.
So, but yeah, I will do this. I will send you a self-addressed stamped envelope and look forward to getting your stuff.
I appreciate you calling, Les, and giving us your reaction, and it was quite a story hearing what happened to you, and I appreciate you sharing that, too.
Not a problem. Anytime.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks.
Bye, Jerry.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Yes, hi. Is this the KPFK?
No, this is information for Bob Dobbs, the show that was on this morning.
Right, yeah.
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Ontario.
All right. What's your name?
Delvis, D-E-L-V-I-S.
D-E-L-V-I-S?
That's correct.
Yeah, what intrigued you about the show?
Well, a lot intrigued me about the show, especially about the communication and the... what I want to know, if I could get a copy of that tape, is there a way to do that? Or?
Sure. Do you have a pencil and paper?
Yes, I do.
Have you listened to David's show in the past?
No, actually it was my mistake. I had the alarm clock go off and I was supposed to be sleeping on Saturday. And I couldn't shut it off. I just sat there just listening to the whole thing because it was Sunday.
So you heard it from 6 o'clock on?
Actually, from 7.
From 7 on.
Yeah, so I probably caught the last half hour of his...
Of the Finnegan's Wake part. Have you ever read Finnegan's Wake?
No, I've read Ulysses' own Portrait of an Artist as a Young Man and his Dubliner's copy. But
great. And you've never even... Why haven't you read Finnegan's Wake?
Because I moved on to other pieces of literature. You know, you just...
Who you mean other authors?
Right.
Who have you read, then?
Oh, I was reading, contemporary-wise, I was reading Marquez and Gutegrass and Faulkner and stuff like that.
I see. And what in particular intrigued you about Bob's analysis? I mean, was it the first part that really got you, or was it the live part?
It was the sense when he was talking about attempting not to communicate content anymore, that what we need to really try to find is a new perception. That's what was really intriguing.
You like that part?
Yeah, and well, I'm a painter too.
I see.
There was this whole thing, this intrigue about just the information overload, and also about at the turn of the century, and that we don't have really sense of almost like a medieval hermeneutic seal on it, that we don't even have a way to get back into it and open it up. And that was intriguing about Ezra Pound and the poets and T.S. Eliot.
Right.
And that dialogue that was going on back there. And just the communication about communicating and the things that, I mean, I'm trying to think of things that are sticking out in my mind, but I guess overall it had to probably do with just semiotics in the sense of just signs, you know, and signals and language working that way instead of working in the sense of just being something that had a meaning behind it. It was more just it was really intriguing. I just enjoyed it.
That's good. Have you read Marshall McLuhan at all?
Some of Marshall McLuhan I had in social psych.
In high school or college?
College, at UC Santa Cruz. But
do you remember which books they had? What had you reading? The Medium is the Massage?
Yeah, that's the one.
And that's the only one?
That was the only one, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll be sending you a list of all 20 of Marshall's books. 5 of them are in print. And I really suggest you explore some of those because... He's way beyond all those authors that you talked about. In fact, you know, he came out of, he had many letters that he wrote to Pound. In fact, you should read the letters of Marshall McLuhan. That's a book, and a couple of his letters to Pound really say a lot.
And what about their relationship to the French philosopher or the French post-structuralist, like Deleuze and all these other... know anything about relationship to them?
Well,
structuralist. I mean, they work in the same way with the language, and that sense of almost a conspiracy theory in a way.
Right. Well, McLuhan, I think, was ahead of most of those guys. The thing is that McLuhan often gets discounted sort of as half kook, half genius. And he's not taken seriously all the time. And that's because people don't explore all of his books. You know, they just read a few things and think he has cute little sayings. And that's it. And it's really a question of exploring more of his. That's a good question to ask Bob on November 27th. He'll be back on.
November 27th.
Yeah, November 27th, a couple months. Really is a good idea to refine your question. And if you'd like, you could call me once you have your question down and let me hear it, and then I can work with you and refine it better. Because that's the whole thing, is it doesn't even matter what the answers are. It's the questions that are important.
Right. So this is November 27th. What time is it going to be on?
6 to 8:30 again.
6 to 8:30 again?
Yeah, and it is a good idea. And some of the stuff I'll send you, you can look over. I'll include this 17-page interview called Entertainment Sucks, because a lot of what you just talked about, we review in there. And we talk a lot about art, Marcel Duchamp, small A art and capital A art,
right,
which I think might intrigue you a lot, since you're into literature and art as well. And you're a painter, you said?
Right.
Yeah.
Struggling to be a painter, though. Sometimes I wonder if it's, I should just move towards installations, period, you know.
You should, installations, yeah.
I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. So,
well, really good hearing from you, Delvis. I hope...
Make sure I just got this straight, okay? Jerry Fialka, and that's 2427.5 Glendon Avenue, Venice, California, 90291, and send $8. I just write it to you?
Yeah.
To check to you? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. And then I'll send a return address. So I have to do the SASE, or do you just, like, mail it out?
SASE would be great.
Okay.
Thanks a lot.
Well, thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Hello?
Hi, is this a Bob?
Yeah, this is information for Bob Dobbs. Did you listen to the show this morning?
I caught just a part of it.
Oh, I see. What's your name?
My name's Mike Callahan.
Hi, Mike. Where are you calling from?
Upland.
I see. And what'd you think?
Well, I didn't hardly, I just caught a snippet of it, and I didn't hardly, catch very much of it, but what I caught was really interesting.
What? Why do you say it was interesting?
Well, there was a caller that called in, and I regularly listen to KPFK. So that's what station was on, right? Was that KPFK?
That's right.
Yeah. So anyhow, I caught just a part of it, and I heard this guy going on, and I wasn't kind of paying attention, and then I was, and I couldn't even, repeat back to you exactly what he said, but it seemed to make some kind of sense, and so I was calling just to find out, what the hell are you guys talking about, and what is this?
Well, Bob Dobbs has been on David Porter's show several times, and he's due back on November 27th.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a pencil and paper?
Yeah.
Okay. And Bob Dobbs will be back on David's show then. He will discuss what he usually does, is a lot about Marshall McLuhan. Have you ever read any McLuhan?
Well, I know of them, but I haven't read any of them.
Okay, I'll be sending you a list of his books. You might check out some of his stuff. The book we talked about for 90 minutes at the beginning this morning was Finnegan's Wake.
Yeah.
That's by James Joyce. Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Okay, you might check that out further as well. And we basically talk about communication and media and how all medias are extensions of us. The shoe is the extension of the foot. This clothing is extension of the skin, and electricity is extension of the central nervous system.
Uh-huh.
And so we talk about medias and how they affect us, because that's probably the thing we've most lacked in communicating, especially KPFK, because KPFK listeners tend to just want to blame the media when they don't realize the media is them.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, they're controlled by corporate bigwigs, but, you know, nickel brains and $50 haircuts. But we need to become more aware of, you know, what's going on. And I think that's what Bob explores in a little unorthodox way, because he's not so specialized like most of the people are on KPFK. Take somebody like Alan Watts, who I enjoy immensely, is sort of specialized. He touches on a lot of things Bob talks about. Have you ever heard Alan Watts?
Oh, yeah. I'm very familiar with Alan Watts.
Yeah. So you listen to Roy's show?
Well, is Roy the one that plays Alan Watts?
Well, Roy is on midnight to 6 a.m. Monday through Thursday, and he plays a lot of these people. He's only played Bob once. We're trying to get him on Roy's show more often. But Alan is also on Monday afternoons. And what Bob does is pretty much take in all these different people. Bucky Fuller to McLuhan to Alan Watts to Christian Murdy to Mae Brussel, Dave Emery, and all of them.
Uh-huh.
So,
now, what is this Mediacology on a CD at the warehouse or something?
Okay, the name of the artist is Bob's Producers for Bob. And there's two CDs by Producers for Bob. Bob's Media Ecology and Bob's Media Ecology Squared. So they're
Media
Ecology Squared. And they're both highly recommended.
And what are these CDs about?
Well, the first one is a mixture of clips from Bob's radio show, which he did in Toronto for 4 years, mixed with music. And the second one has some remixes by more known groups like Negative Land, Steinsky and Cold Cut, and various sort of rap people. Well, Negative Land's much more experimental. And that has a good 40 minutes of just clips from Bob's radio shows with no music in between the music pieces. So,
who's Bob Dobbs?
Bob Dobbs is basically the person who was on for 2.5 hours this morning. He's, you know, a philosopher and a thinker and a radio host, and he's all kinds of things. You know, he mixes a little bit of everything.
I see.
So there.
So what, as a radio host, is he on? Does he have a show on KPFK, or where does he have?
Well, he's been on KPFK about 5 times now. We're trying to get him on about every 2 months. He's on David's show. So November 27th, he'll be on again. And he did 4 years of radio in Toronto. And he does interviews throughout the country constantly, because his two CDs have gotten airplay worldwide. And
These two CDs
have gotten airplay worldwide, yeah.
I see.
They contain clips from his radio shows.
Okay, and the basic premise to this is that his work concerns media, and media as an extension of our central nervous system.
Well, not just that's electricity is an extension of our central nervous system. All media can be analyzed. And if you study McLuhan, get the book Laws of Media, you can learn tetrad management. You can apply this to your life. And tetrad is a way to study media, whether it's a refrigerator, which is a form of the media, or it's talking, or it's newspaper, or it's TV. You know, most people just think media is TV or newspaper or radio. But media is everything we do. It's any man-made phenomenon, pretty much. So we study all media, and we study the effects of media. That's what's basically lacking. People learned, they learned about talking, then they learned about reading and writing, and then they got subsumed by electricity. The electronic environment pretty much made people into zombies. Do you know anybody who watches TV and it doesn't matter what's on? They just watch TV. That's a good example of how electricity has killed humanity. We're not against electricity. We're for a media fast. That is, turn off electricity for 2 minutes or 2 hours or 2 days, study the effects, and then turn it back on. So that's what media ecology is about.
I see, and that's what media fasting is.
That's what media fasting is, and it's beyond that as well. I mean, everybody says, "Oh, I stop watching TV because they want to act like they're smarter than people," and they go, "That's the boob tube, that's the idiot box." Well, it's not that. It's that you have to learn that TV has services and disservices. Everything has services and disservices.
Huh?
If you get away from making value judgments, which is called suspended judgment. The main thing we really strive for is pattern recognition. That's recognizing patterns, studying history. And through pattern recognition, you can acquire comprehensive awareness. That's looking at the big picture, studying everything, getting a little from everything. So that's really what we're after.
And when you say we, what is we?
We is anybody who calls up and talks and studies any of this. Anybody who reads Finnegan's Wake, to listens to Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh or anything. It's there is no we. We is every living creature. So it's just everyone should strive for this, and everyone does it in their own way. We're just talking about it for trying to, hoik up an awareness, make people more aware that we can study the effects of all this.
Uh-huh.
We don't have to take this attitude that we're being controlled by the media.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're part of the media.
Well, this sounded interesting. I wish I would have tuned this in earlier. I would just left doing some exercising, and I was on my way to the store, and it was over before I could hear anything more about it. But like I said, it kind of intrigued me.
Yeah, well, we appreciate it, Mike. You should send the self-addressed stamped envelope, get the information, look it over, and there's lots of tapes and books and CDs and everything available.
Right.
But it's not even, we're not really even out to sell anything. We're just out to increase awareness and get people to participate in dialogue. So.
Well, let me make sure that I have the address and everything down here right, okay? It's Jerry Fielka, that's F.
Testing.
Hello?
Hi. I'm calling to find out if I can get the Bob Dobbs tape on the Finnegan's Wake.
Sure. Where are you calling from?
Topanga, California.
And what's your name?
Phil Bernard.
Hi, Phil.
Are you Bob Dobbs?
No, I'm not, but I can tell you how to get it. Do you have a pencil and paper?
I do.
Okay. Great. Well, tell me what intrigued you and how much of the show you heard.
I probably heard about half of the first part, which would be explaining the Ten Thunders.
Yes.
And about 45, maybe half an hour of the call-ins.
And what intrigued you about it?
Well, I was going to write it off when I was sort of sleepily listening to it as a kind of a crank or somebody, but then the guy seemed so knowledgeable about what he was talking about, and his answers intrigued me, so...
Have you read Finnegan's Wake?
No, I've been meaning to read it for 30 years, and I've been intimidated by what I've heard about it, so I just never got around to it. I understand it's almost impossible to understand.
Oh, yeah, you can contemplate it. It's more, you can contemplate it than read it, but it's truly a challenge, and I highly encourage it. As well, have you read any Marshall McLuhan?
I tried Marshall McLuhan again a long time ago, and... I got a little frustrated reading him because he seemed to contradict himself every other paragraph. And,
yeah.
But I, you know, that was 23 years ago. Maybe I'll have a different impression if I would read him again.
Yeah, I would check him out. There's a good one called War and Peace in the Global Village, where he actually takes excerpts from Finnegan's Wake and puts them in the side of the pages.
Uh-huh.
And I highly encourage you to check him out as well. I'll send you some printed matters with the tapes.
Okay. Is this Bob Dobbs, is he got a church or something?
Bob Dobbs is a character that, Bob inspired the character of Bob Dobbs, which is based on a sort of fake comedy church called Church of the Subgenius. They have three books out, all of which I highly recommend as well. The Book of the Subgenius is one of them.
And you say that's not serious?
It's serious in a way. I call it a fake comedy church, but I mean, they're definitely serious too. It's hard to explain them. I would say get some of their literature as well, having three books, like I recommend all three of them. And as well, I'll send you some printed matter that explains exactly Bob's connection with them.
Okay, so you're just someone who's...
An associate.
Associate with Bob Dobbs.
Yeah, and I do also encourage you, Phil, to check out Bob on November 27th, same time, 6 to 8:30 a.m. on KPFK.
November 22nd.
Yeah. 27th.
27th.
Yeah.
6 to 8:30.
Yeah, I highly recommend that, and think up some good questions. He'll be on probably live for an hour again, and you know, we always like people thinking about this and coming up with some sort of dialogue with Bob. It's important.
Yeah, that's good. Does Bob talk with or talk about Terrence McKenna at all?
Oh, sure.
He does.
Sure. Oh, yeah. You just name anybody and Bob will talk about him.
I was so impressed with the guy. You know.
Oh, yeah. The thing about Bob, now Terrence McKenna is interesting because Terrence has gone into Finnegan's Wake a little and actually reviewed the book called The Letters of Marshall McLuhan for Mondo 2000 several years ago. So Terrence has touched on a couple of Bob's heavies, you know, that is Finnegan's Wake and McLuhan. But the thing about all these guys, you take Christian Murty, Alan Watts, Bucky Fuller, McLuhan, John Cage, Marcel Duchamp, and even go into like Mae Brussel, Dave Emery, all the political researchers. And Bob has a little of all of them. He's one that really spans and looks at the big picture, whereas most of these guys are too specialized. And, I mean, they're good, granted. I love to see Terrence and hear him speak. Bob has touched on Terrence, definitely. And if you have a specific question, that's good, too.
Yeah, what really impressed me about Bob was that, especially in the call-in part, he didn't put anybody down. You know, he took everybody very seriously, even some of the people that
were stumbling. I know. David's more in tune to cutting them short and saying how stupid they are. But no, that's a very good observation. Bob, he has a thing called suspended judgment. He tends not to make value judgments, that everybody has value, and that's completely true. We all know that, but it's hard, you know, when a dirty wino comes up to you on the street to not sort of step aside.
Yeah.
And Bob is that dirty wino, as well as the President of the United States. I mean, he's got a little bit of everybody in him, and he really, like I said, has an amazing sense of suspended judgment. The other thing we really encourage is pattern recognition, and that's rare. I mean, really observing what's happening over and over, because through pattern recognition, you acquire comprehensive awareness.
Yeah, but you know, there was that famous incident with one of the Beatles albums where somebody said that they recognized all this stuff in the Beatles albums, and of course it was pretty far out, and it was just simply one person, you know, putting a pattern together to come up with a fantastic theory, but...
Right, I'm not...
Is there any substance to it? I mean,
that's an interesting question. That would be a good question opposed to Bob. Now, that's personal... someone's personal take.
Yeah.
It still doesn't mean really that anybody's pattern recognition is going to be accurate. I mean, what is accurate? That's the hard question.
Yeah.
And it's really that Bob has all the answers, but what are the questions is what's important.
Yeah.
So that indeed is what's important. See, he's just a catalyst. He's like Marshall McLuhan. Marshall McLuhan is confusing to people because he said, I don't explain, I explore. He said things like, carefully make plans, then do the opposite. These are cute little sayings that people just chalk him off as like a cute guy with aphorisms or a kook or a genius. And he's much more than that, you know. He's a Manipian satirist. That's what Bob is. And this is like catalyst for people to take the ball and run with it. That's exactly what McLuhan was looking for. He was looking for someone to take the ball and run with it, and that's exactly what Bob has done. So,
is Bob making his living with this sort of thing?
No. This is his living, but he's not making money off it. I mean, he has two CDs out and a book, but they don't sell at all. They're not things he makes his living off of.
Okay,
that's a good question to ask him too. How he makes his living.
All right, listen, I won't keep you anymore. Thanks a lot,
Phil. Phil, very good talking to you, and you have my number. Call me anytime. I'd love to discuss it further.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye. Hello?
Right, hello.
I'm sorry. We're giving information about Bob. What attracted you about the show?
The analysis of social and personal realities. I like that.
Oh, amazing. What's your name?
Elliot.
Elliot, where are you calling from?
San Diego. I was in the L.A. area, and I turned on my radio Saturday morning, and I probably heard the last 30, 40 minutes.
I see. Have you read Marshall McLuhan at all?
No, I haven't.
Have you read Finnegan's Wake by James Joyce?
No.
Oh, that's great. What specifically was it? Was there any specific analysis or any more specifics that you could give?
Well, I kind of think people are walking ghosts living off of tapes that don't belong to them, and you might say it's a shadow dance. So that's my own language of what I see, and I knew Joyce, although I had never had an opportunity to study him, via some writers who mention and respect him greatly. It was something about what he did to catch a lot of metaphors in a kind of almost magical way. And
you mean Joyce or Bob?
Joyce.
Yeah.
Joyce. But I felt Bob was rather interesting.
Uh-huh.
Put it mildly.
Great. Well, do you have a pencil?
I have, but do you have material to send people?
Yes, I do. I'll tell you what you do. Hold on.
As I mentioned the last part, who is he and what is he all about?
Well, Bob's a philosopher and a thinker, and he was a radio host for 4 years in Toronto.
Uh-huh.
He's got two CDs out. They're under the artist Producers for Bob. They're clips from his radio show mixed with music.
Uh-huh.
He has a book called Phatic Communion with Bob Dobbs. Do you know what phatic communion is?
No, what is it?
Well, that is like if you were fixing a flat tire on the side of the road and I came up to you and I says, hey, you got a flat? Well, it's evident you got a flat, but you probably wouldn't jump in my case and say, hey, can't you see? You would just say, yeah. You know, it's sort of like social communication. And it's a very good book. I highly recommend it, but it's a little hard to get. The literature I'll send you will give you an address where you can send away for it.
I decide, okay, and does he have any audio tapes that I can get hold of?
Oh, there's tons of audio, yeah.
I decide, okay,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Look forward to it.
Elliot, I appreciate it, and you have my number. Call me anytime if you'd like to talk more about it.
Okay, and always carry a spare tire just in case.
Always carry a spare what?
Tire just in case.
I didn't get that word.
I said, always carry a spare tire, just in case.
Oh, spare tire, yes. Oh, just in case.
You're always fixing your own, however you look at it.
That's real good, Elliot. Thanks for calling.
Take it easy.
Bye. Hello?
Is Jerry there?
Speaking.
My name is George Jenkins. A friend of mine talked to you at a book thing on Monday evening, I believe it was. I told you she had a friend that's interested in James Joyce and you wanted me to give her a call.
Yeah, I appreciate you calling.
Your students.
Yeah.
Went back and created a thing that they published as the corrected text. Went back to all of the proofs of the various things that Joyce had corrected and changed. And, of course, you realize he made enormous changes on the proofs that the printer couldn't always read, and the original Ulysses was
But that's Ulysses, and she. But she claimed that, that the printers had dropped the type on Finnegan's Wake and jumbled it up. Have you ever heard that?
No, I have not heard that.
No, I think she just got it mixed up.
But with, the Ulysses so-called corrected version is subject of a great deal of controversy in all the scholarly papers. People are taking pot shots at it all the time. But it was corrected enough that they were able to get a new copyright on it. So there's two versions of Ulysses on the market today. One is this so-called corrected version, and the other is now public domain. Anyone can publish it.
Wow.
But, if you want to get any of the books that explain Ulysses, Notes for Ulysses, or...
Right, well, I'm not...
To get the corrected version, because page by page, chapter by chapter, line by line... All of them work with the corrected version, even though nobody believes it's really correct.
I see. But I'm not as interested in Ulysses. I appreciate that the work exists, but I've particularly focused in on Finnegan's Wake, which I really have never read, but I've studied through many dialogues with my friend Bob. So having someone, you know, I heard about someone like you who has studied Finnegan's Wake, I would just love... for you to hear the tape and get your reaction, because Bob was Marshall McLuhan's archivist, and if you're aware that McLuhan actually, you know, studied Finnegan's Wake a lot, and his son has an amazing book called Menippean Thunders at Finnegan's Wake, which isn't published, which I think you should definitely look into getting if you're not aware of it.
I would like to.
It's only available through Microfiche in Ann Arbor, Michigan, and someday it might come out, but it's an amazing book.
If you do decide that you want to get into Finnegan's Wake, there's a couple of things that you need to do. One is find a book that explains the plot. And I gather you've been exposed to it enough, you probably know the overall plot anyway. There are a number of them that have been published, but they're all out of print. And I have only been able to find the old original one, the Skeleton Key to Finnegan's Wake by Campbell.
By Campbell, yeah.
That's the only one I have to go by, but there are a lot more recent ones, and that one's got a lot of mistakes in it. You need something to tell you the plot, and then you need Roland McHugh's annotations to Finnegan.
I have that, yes.
If you don't have that, you're lost.
No, I have that, yeah.
Current edition, it just got reprinted within the last year.
I just got the current edition, yeah.
If you don't have that, you're hopelessly lost.
Yeah.
It's a three-language pun on a word. There's no way you can figure it out on your own.
Right.
So I would say, you know, if you're going to go into Finnegan's Wake, got to have McHugh's annotations, and you've got to have something that explains the basic plot.
Yeah.
And after that, you're kind of on your own. I've read it three times, and I probably have maybe 30% comprehension, and I crack up laughing every time I read it.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that, George. Now, have you ever read any McLuhan?
No, I haven't.
Oh. Well, this will be interesting. Can I send you this tape then, or?
Sure, I'd love to hear it.
Okay, so your name is George Jenkins, J-E-N-K-I-N-S?
Right.
Yeah.
Got that, and you've got the Don Gifford Notes to Ulysses. You can read it and understand it quite thoroughly. Ulysses is not a problem.
Then what? When did you get into Finnegan's Wake?
Oh, fairly recently. 8 years ago, I said, I'm going to try and read this thing, because it's the next step, and everyone says it's tough, and I checked it out in the local library, and I couldn't read the first page.
Uh-huh.
Which I'm sure you understand.
Oh, that you couldn't read it.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, I can understand that.
So I decided if I wanted to read this thing, I had to start collecting information about it.
Uh-huh.
After a couple of years had collected enough and read enough about it, I took a crack at it.
That's great, and it's strictly for pleasure. This isn't like a This isn't a pursuit of yours to earn money or anything.
Oh heavens, no! I'm retired now. I just retired a year ago.
Uh huh.
I had gotten heavily into Joyce before that.
Yeah.
Let's see if there's any other ads on this. James Joyce.
No. Well, I'll just get a copy and go from there.
Here's another one. It's an ad from University of Texas Press, Joyce Studies Annual, and that's published every year, obviously. And it has selected papers. Whoever wants to contribute to it, $25 per issue.
Wow.
I get that too. I don't think it's as valuable as the quarterly, but if you're interested in that, University of Texas Press, Box 7819, Austin, Texas, 78713, $25 per issue, Joyce Studies Annual.
Great.
So I don't know if that'll help you at all or not.
Well, yeah, it'll be interesting for you to hear this tape too, George. So I'll send it off within the next week. And
any activity around the LA area that you know of on Joyce?
Yeah, they. Besides that, they have this reading on St. Pat's Day usually at some of these Irish bars, and I think they read some of his stuff.
How about on Bloomsday?
Yeah, and maybe on Bloomsday, too. I think if you just take a look in the weekly, L.A. Weekly.
Okay.
But
I know there's a James Joyce Society in New York, but I don't know of anything in L.A. that's comparable.
Yeah, that's interesting. Well, I'll stay in touch, George, and after you get the tape, please let me know your reactions.
Okay, and let me give you my phone number.
No problem. Go ahead.
It's unlisted, so trouble finding it in the book.
Okay.
Same area code as you, 377.
Mm-hmm.
3727.
All right.
I don't consider myself an expert on Dragon's Wake by any means, but I have a lot of fun with it.
That's good.
Let me think. What else? Oh, one other book that I felt was very valuable to me in recent years is still in print is Brenda Maddox's biography of Norman.
I got that, yeah.
Don't have that, you gotta get it.
I've got that. That's great.
The whole interaction between her and Joyce just isn't in Ullman's biography at all.
Yeah.
And that was a vital part of his ability to produce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, George. I really appreciate it.
Nice to talk to you.
Okay. Bye. Do whatever you choose. But, I think he is he's very serious about what he's doing, you know, and that's the irony is that it's all completely bullshit because he thinks everything's disappeared.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly the feeling that I got.
Yeah.
I really got the feeling that he was like definitely very serious about it, but yet at the same time, you know, kind of realizing that our communication in our society is just kind of ended, so to speak, and so his role is almost to go and satirize the entire forum.
Oh yeah, he's a manipian satirist, yeah. But it's not like he's going to come off as that completely, I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, anyway, it is fascinating. Now we had talked about doing recording a conversation or making it an interview or what?
Right, with my friend Phil.
As you know, I'm sure in McLuhan's day, people talk slower, and by the time you get up to Bob Dobbs, he's like, you know, MTV. I mean, you know, everything is lickety-split, and there's no time to even digest what it is that he's saying.
That's a good point. In fact, Dave Worcester, who calls in towards the end of the show, who's actually one of the first people in America to channel in a heavy influence on Bob,